Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Talk What Works. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk What Works is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about the verdict. We're talking about the sentence of Aaron Dean this week. What came to mind as I was preparing for this show today was my theme song, every single time we come on, is a change is going to come. And I felt that, and I feel like we're there. A change has come in Fort Worth this week as Aaron Dean was the first officer to ever be convicted of manslaughter in Tarrant County. The second song that came to mind, y'all, was God Has Spoken, Let the Church Say Amen. That's how I felt. We prayed, but a lot of times we went back and we doubted if God, could he do it? You know, we were looking somewhere between probation and 20 years. So that's a long range, and not knowing how the jury was going to come back, seeing that there were no blacks on the jury. But somehow, God allowed several major things to happen, in my opinion, in this trial. First off, the death of the lead attorney for the defense, Jim Lane. May God rest his soul. I believe that was a very, very pivotal shift in their defense. The fact that Jim Lane had the teaching, and he had used it in several people's defense, and it had worked, that it's all about the training. You train a robot, the robot goes out and does what you tell it to do, so therefore, who can you blame? You blame it on the training. But thank God that defense didn't work. Also, we saw Zion get on the stand and be unable to recant what they say he said at 8 years old. I found it very strange that they didn't call the psychologist who had interviewed him that night. If Zion couldn't go on, why didn't she come on to say what Zion said? But we never saw that. We never saw the full interview when Zion walked into the room from beginning to end. So I think that made jurors question, you know, maybe in the back of their mind, if everything is above board with the way Zion was interviewed and the fact that there was no parental consent to even do the interview and the fact that Zion was alone that night after being traumatized and then being forced to testify to something that happened when he was 8 years old and that night being questioned, you know, in the middle of the night after seeing his Aunt Tay get killed in front of him. And I think the last real, well, two other things that were very, very pivotal. I think when Aaron Dean was forced to get on the stand because he had to save his own behind, something I don't think they planned for. And when he was sent in as a last resort, I don't think he could handle the pressure under cross-examination. And, y'all, the last thing that I think I noticed that shifted things was I don't think the defense ever prepared for the sentencing phase. I think for 3 years they built their whole defense on Mr. James called in and never used the word welfare check and the fact that Zion was going to say that his Aunt Tay pointed a gun out of the window. And I think for 3 years, with probably $1 million defense, that was their strategy. And when Zion was not able to say that for them on the stand, I think they were scrambling to figure out what to do, and they were not successful. So tonight we have Aaron Dean sitting in the Tarrant County Jail, charged with manslaughter, sentenced today to 11 years, 10 months, and 12 days. Some believe the 11 years stands for Zion is 11. Others believe the 10 months stand for the month in which Tatiana died, and the 12 stands for the day in which Tatiana died, the 10th month, the 12th day. We'll never know. But, y'all, today, I have not still been able to process what the heck happened because I've been living in Fort Worth a really long time, and I just never saw this possible. So I guess God showed up and he showed out and he showed us that he did hear our prayers. So tonight I see a lot of hands raised tonight, y'all. So I'm going to go to the phone lines and see what everybody else thinks. I want to know from y'all, what about the trial stands out the most to you all? What happened during the trial, whether that was before they came up with a verdict or while they were or after they came up with a sentencing, what during the trial caught your attention the most? So we're going to start with Christopher Marino. Good evening, Christopher.
Hey, how you doing, Carrie?
Fine. What are your thoughts?
As far as the pivotal moment for me in this whole trial, I'm not even going to take it to the lawyers or the judge or anything. The pivotal thing for me in this trial has been the movement of the people, you know.
Wow.
And it's been peaceful. It's been persistent, and it's been building and progressive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll just clear it up that my, you know, it what I feel the result was, it was inadequate. It was sufficient, but I'm willing to come on. I'm willing to stand at the across the table here with all of the issues that are in orbit around this case, and I'm willing to look at the powers that be, these people that we've been talking about, the system, the systematic issues, and what I call what happened today, I call that an acceptable down payment.
Oh, wow.
You know, I call it an acceptable down payment, but with that down payment, acceptable and nominal, but so we can accept that down payment, but this movement needs to continue, and we need to make sure that they keep up with their installments and equitable transactions of justice. That's what we need. And then the last thing that I will say on a religious note is I think God's rebuke has been heard by those people.
Oh, that's good. Listen, that's a mouthful right there. I agree. 512-999, good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 512-999. Okay. I am not sure. I'm going to call you out one more time. Five, area code, 512. The first three numbers of the phone number is 999. Okay, obviously that person does not know I'm coming to them. I may come back at a later time. 214-931, good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
How you doing, Carrie?
Fine, how are you?
Yeah, I like how you kind of lead this off, and I like what Moreno said about this was a very small payment back. Mm-hmm. But I guess to set things off, I want to talk about the debt that we still that's still owed to us.
For sure.
I pulled up this old list. Yeah, I pulled up this old list of people from Mothers Against Police Brutality. This is a list that's compiled almost 10 years ago of people who have been killed by Dallas police officers. This list, of course, is old list, and you went out.
Wait a minute, are you talking about Dallas or Fort? You mean Dallas or Fort Worth?
No, I said Dallas.
Okay.
Because I don't know what Fort Worth has done as far as putting out names and everything, but for Colette Flanagan and John Fullenwild to pull up this list, this is going to make you stagger. It starts off: Clint Allen, Kenneth Horton, Carlton Mims, Abdel Abakara, Jox Howard, Rodrigo Robles, Galen Alexander, Connell Hurd, Daniel Ross, William Banks, John Husband III, Kevin Sinning, James Bannister, Camilla Johnson, Andre Smith, Gerald Black, Tyreka Johnson, Douglas Blackburn, Derek Jones, Cedric Stevens, Fred Bradford, Diane Kemp, Tony Vernon, Johnny Davison, Richard Latour, Bobby Walker, Lenny Ellis, Tobias Mackey, Brandon Washington, Luis Escalante, Stephen Malone, Samuel West, Kenan Forge, Abel Martinez, Eddie Welch, Francisco Fuentes, Kendrick McDaniel, Jason Pablis, Andrew. Huh?
But that, what about Fort Worth? Why would you tell us about Dallas and not what's going on? There's a lot in Fort Worth.
Well, I don't have a list for the ones in Fort Worth, but I'm just giving you an idea how large this debt is, because this affects, you know, when everybody talk about Dallas and Fort Worth, it's all one big thing.
No, not really.
You know,
not really. You guys have a different movement over there than what we see in Fort Worth. Fort Worth is just catching on that either you stand up or you get rolled over. And so that kind of mindset has been in Dallas for a while, but we're just seeing it in Fort Worth. So, no disrespect for all those people that died, may they rest in peace, but tonight I think people are more concerned about who's being, basically avenged for being killed over here because there's quite a few names, you know, Michael Jacobs and Cheryl Thomas, you know, there's
Oh, well, speak on them because I'm just bringing this out because we need, I mean, we got this one done with a Tatiana, but we're a long way from getting any type of respectability as far as what needs to be done. And, you know, while we're talking about an oversight committee, you know, see, we have one here in Dallas, and they ain't doing shit for none of these people here.
That probably will happen in Fort Worth, again, if the people don't push back. The people have to push back and demand, you know, and I think Marino's right that, you know, it's a down payment. But, you know, there's still a lot of money due or a lot of debt still, you know, owed on all the injustices that we've seen in Tarrant County, in Fort Worth for far too long. And it was just really no accountability for police. It was just as though, you know, everybody would hide behind qualified immunity. But that's just not acceptable today that we got to have more. We got to have a police department that shows up, you know, with the attitude that we're here to protect and serve. We're going to do everything we can to preserve life, and we're not going to take a shot at somebody just because they're moving, you know, because there should be some serious de-escalation training coming from this whole ordeal, that people learn that, you know, shooting is a mechanism that they have at their disposal. However, I would like to see officers train to use their verbal skills. And what happened to a billy club or a taser? We don't even see those anymore. We just see, you know, everybody's immediately shooting. And I think that's something we want to see stop, you know, moving forward since this Tatiana Jefferson trial has proven that there's so much to be done in this police department.
And Terry, I'll just say, hey, on right behind you, brother, I will say I completely agree with you. We can talk about the big picture, you know what I mean, in a long-term sense. Everything that you're saying, that is a big picture. That is a conversation. But I'm not downplaying none of that. But specifically right here today, this hump, we got over in this corner we turned right here, okay? Yeah. We still ain't crossed the bridge. And what I will say specifically that my expectation is, and specifically, because I'm going to give the expectation, that's the thing you got to do. So we've collected the down payment. Now we need to communicate. We need to feed the expectation to the bosses, you know, this big brother, Boss Hog stuff we got going here. It's over. And we need to see a dramatic shift in the attitude. And the first thing that I'm going to sit here and say is we're going to be watching how this civil case goes. And if we start to see this backsliding on that civil case, with the way the city handles the civil case, what I want to see is I want to see this little short period of time, let Fort Worth, let all people that are dealing with those issues, they need to come together in whatever room they come together, and then they need to come out to us, and they need to communicate that they understand our expectations and they are going to comply. Okay. Because we've got a lot of lawsuits that are hanging out there, and they got the wrong damn attitude about trying to shut us down.
I'm not trying to be insensitive, but, you know, tonight, and I'm going to be a little selfish, it's all about Fort Worth tonight because this has been so long coming, and it's been such a buildup, and it's 3 years later, and Tatiana Jefferson was the catalyst for change, but there were so many lives lost in Fort Worth before we got to Tatiana Jefferson. When Tatiana Jefferson was killed, it was after Amber Geiger situation. However, Fitzgerald had been fired earlier that year, and after he was fired, immediately there was six people fatally shot. Tatiana was the sixth. Fatally, but there was 10 total shootings from the Fort Worth Police Department. So that's not about training. That was something else going on because immediately when the police department said no more, then the shooting stopped. And so there's so much about this particular, you know, verdict that mean so much to the people of Fort Worth. Listen, if you got a question or a comment tonight, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. We're going back to the phone lines. We're going to go to 817-705. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening, Carrie.
Good evening.
How you doing? This is Wayman Brown.
Hey, Wayman. How you doing?
Oh, man, I've been trying to not watch the news, you know, and, you know, trying to have an objective view. But at the same time, we've seen the Fort Worth shenanigans, you know, doing their same old, same old.
Okay.
Again, when we start, one of the things I don't think the defense planned on was having the majority of white people on an all-white jury convicting a white police officer of a crime of manslaughter, let alone murder. That is the one thing, like the brother that first came on said, that's something that they hadn't planned on. They hadn't planned on the hearts of the people getting to the point to say, man, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fort Worth been a powder keg. Like I say, I've been blessed to see 59 years in this thing, and I came in the hotbed of 63. So imagine from seeing what I saw then growing up through that and all those adversities to still being in the same, feeling like I'm still in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But to finally see an officer convicted, I'm conflicted about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that there was a verdict that he did get convicted. Was hoping for, like I say, we want to hope for the best but prepare for the worst.
Right.
So with him not getting the murder charge, to me, that was a gimme. That was an expected.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side of that, I really feel that the jury knew and could feel the pressure that was this case was under, and that the city was under, because it was clearly a powder keg.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the defense to stand up in that courtroom and say that this man has already went through enough and punished himself, that man never spent no day in jail.
Right.
That man was at home kicking it with his folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking 3 years before he go to trial, and he at home with his feet up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we look at the way, like you said, the way that the young Zion was treated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no way in the world any of that testimony should have even been allowed in court because of the way that he was treated,
right,
which was criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to bring that up. I felt there was a lot of meat still left on the table as far as dealing with Dean, because if we even just don't even go by his past record, let's look how he conducted himself as an officer that night. You're going to go up, you're going to look in the house, and I've had children that cooked in the house. If you burn anything, I guarantee you, I don't care how many doors and windows you open, you're going to smell something.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to get there and notice that it's that time of morning and the doors are wide open and the house is lit up, that lets you know something going on. I ain't never seen a burglar rob a house or somebody break into a house with all the lights on in the middle of the morning. I ain't ran into that yet. So for him to go in somebody's backyard, man, you asking to get knocked down. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether she had a gun in her hand or not, 90% of the people that I know in my community, and I'm from the South Side, but I live in Southeast Fort Worth, 90% of the people I know, if you're going around in their yard in the middle of the night, they're going to have some kind of weapon to defend themselves because they don't know who's back there.
Wow.
You know, whether you got dogs or not. So I'm looking at, you know, this thing, it was more to me, it was more of like my brother said, it's a down payment on what it still do.
Ooh,
it really is. Because, yeah, I'm glad the Lord had a hand in it. I hate to say it, and I don't say God rest his soul. I'm like burning hell for the defense attorney that did die. You know, because when that jumped off, I'm like, Lord, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
Now, in the Bible, it tells us.
Yeah. Huh? I felt the shift too, and you know what? And don't get me wrong. I didn't know Jim Lane. I've heard he was a great man, but if they built a whole defense on putting the burden on an 8-year-old, that's mean. That's just evil. And so,
well, Carrie, it got worse. It got worse when the defense attorney tried to say it was Mr. James's fault for calling the police.
That's true. Both of them, they put it on both
that
their shows.
That made no sense.
Yeah. So they wanted to get Dean off so bad. They wanted to get Dean off so bad that they did not mind wrecking the lives, two more lives. They already took the life of a Tatiana Jefferson, and they did not mind wrecking the lives of Mr. James and Zion so that they could get the desired result, which was to get Aaron Dean off.
That's the police handbook. That's their handbook. We're going to make the person that got killed, we're going to make them the attacker and the aggressor. And we're going to talk about all the things about them that can make them look bad. And we're going to hold this officer in an upstanding community. Oh, man, miss me with that. Because I still say, and the only reason I'd put them up, you got to have signs. For them that don't know, y'all listen. If you got dogs in your backyard, please put a sign up, because if the police jump in your backyard and your dog bite them, you don't have a sign on the front side, you will get cited. So just put your sign up, just letting them know. But if they do, I got cameras and I got a lot of magazines, and I'm going to leave it right there with that. But...
Okay, let him finish, y'all, because we got to move on. Go ahead. Finish, Wendy.
But to go ahead, you know, and unfortunately, and I do say this wholeheartedly and seriously, this ain't going to be the last one we have like this. Until we get some oversight, until we get an advisory board, until we get some people that are not connected with the police in positions to where we can take the time and sift through and look at what their policies and procedures are and not try to cover up and hide when those officers cross the line. Until we get something like that in place, this is not the last case we're going to have like this.
Ooh, wait a minute. I hope you're wrong. I'm going to leave your line open. Wait a minute. I'm going to go to 817-905. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
Hey, Carrie, this is Carol Rice. What stood out the most to me about the trial is that when the psychologist came on and said the officers cannot even pass a psychological evaluation, the dean. So, and this is not funny, but I'm so happy that the jury, that they chose an all-white jury. And they thought that he was going to get an innocent verdict, not guilty verdict. And but it's like next time anybody's pulled over by the Fort Worth PD, it just makes you want to ask them, did you pass your psychological evaluation?
Well, let me say,
try to make you out to be the crazy one. Crazy. It's all.
Let me say something since Tara Rice is on the phone. Tara Rice called 911 recently. And, Tara, have they showed up yet?
They have not showed up. Have not knocked on my door.
Why not?
That part. She's up there in Firestone.
That was the question. James Smith called the non-emergency line.
Right.
They show up.
Yeah, they come in there like robo cops.
SWAT team.
Right.
So let's be clear. Let's be clear. You called 911, and how many days ago was that?
That was on Sunday. We on Tuesday right now.
Okay. 911 ain't showed up yet, y'all.
911 ain't called me to check on me. I was alive and well. Instead, you know what happened? Instead, you know what happened? Let me tell y'all what happened. I was calling people after the fact. People whose numbers never go to voicemail, their numbers start going to voicemail.
That part, yeah. That part.
Have you spoken
out against the police? Oh, yeah, I'm in Firestone District. We don't have problems with police up here.
Hey, well, y'all know what Flavor Flav used to say.
What's
y'all
that?
Y'all know Flavor Flav used to say public enemy.
So we're going on record that the 911 system, the non-emergency system, needs to be revamped. Because if she's calling 911 and they ain't answered since it's Sunday, and then Mr. James calls a non-emergency number about a welfare check, and it turns into somebody getting killed. That says there's something wrong with the system, y'all, in the way that they're dispatching these calls.
I mean, but like I said, that's old news. That's been going on for like 4 years now. Person calls because they're having a heart attack, can't get off, they get put on hold, and then the person dies.
But I mean, they transfer you over to MedStar when you got an emergency. You get you got to talk to MedStar yourself. They don't even they don't even send MedStar out. You got to talk to them yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, y'all. So I'm gonna leave y'all. So Tara, what did you say the most pivotal part of the trial for you was that the fact that the psychological, they're not passing it.
They're not passing it. But they want to make you out to be the citizens that call. You know, they want to make us out to be the crazy ones.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I'm really, leave the crazy ones, the ones that's holding the gun and the badge.
I agree. Yeah, I'm going to leave your phone line open, and I'm going to I'm looking for the numbers are moving. Y'all, when somebody's added to the board, the numbers shift. Okay, we're going to go to 817-966. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hey, sis, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
This is Kiev Tatum. I was calling in real quick. Go meet my daughter. But I appreciate you being on tonight.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Pastor, about the trial?
Well, I have purposely and intentionally stayed away from that trial because since day one it's been a circus. And now we see clearly the Kangaroo Court has made a mockery of the judiciary. And so our next move is to write the Biden administration and ask for federal civil rights charges to be brought against him, just as we did in so many other cases throughout my tenure in civil rights. And I think this is a perfect example of the Biden administration coming in. Now, here's what I say to the Biden administration. It was black women who got you elected, and it's black women who they're killing now. And if you don't come and stand up for these black women, you will not get reelected. And it's just that simple. And so we can no longer allow Fort Worth or any municipality to continue to treat our black women as cattle who they don't have any respect for unless they're making them some money. But when they don't, when they want their rights, they treat them as bad or worse than black men. So we got to stop playing with Fort Worth. We got to stop expecting them to do something they have absolutely no desire to do, and that is to be fair to the black community. So we must do as Martin them did, as all those others, bring in federal relief. And we have 2 years under the Biden administration for them to correct this wrong, or I will not support him. And I don't care if Trump is running against him. Mm. And we as leaders must stick together with this because had we stuck together with the consent decree in 2019, they wouldn't have been manipulating and playing tricks with our young people for 3 years. That's caused them to trigger over this case.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So
I agree.
That's all I have for, you know.
Well, Pastor, let me say this. Let me ask you this before you get off the phone. So what do you think the Fort Worth community needs to do moving forward, like ASAP? What needs to happen?
Well, we got to acknowledge that this was the wrong call. This was absolutely the wrong call. You do not shoot a person in the back and then stand over her and let her bleed out and not get charged with murder and go to jail for murder, period. So that was the wrong call. Anybody that accepts this, I guarantee you they're in bed with the city of Fort Worth some way, somehow, either monetarily or otherwise.
Wow.
So this is an unacceptable verdict. People talk about bittersweet. There's nothing sweet about this. You get to jail. You go to jail for a drug case and get more time than this. You can kill a dog and get more time than this.
Yeah, that's right.
So absolutely not. Our baby girl is worth more than 11 years, which subsequently means he'll only serve 5 and a half, maybe. So let's get realistic and let's stop compromising our future all for a dollar or for some prestige or for a position when you and I both know that was murder. When you let a person bleed out who could live, that's murder. We know in Fort Worth they let Michael Jacobs bleed out. They let Jermaine Darden bleed out. They let Ra-Ra bleed out. They let Kevin Goldstein bleed out. They let Daquavion bleed out. They let Amari bleed out. And the premise is the best witness is a dead witness. So we know what they're doing. And anyone that's been involved in this in any long period of time know exactly what's going on. And for any one of us to compromise for some dollars or some position or for some power, her blood is on your hands. Daquavion's blood is on your hands. Amari's blood, all of those who died at the hands of the Fort Worth police, is on your hands when you take that blood money.
You're right.
Giving you that money and telling you, we don't want you to cause for reform anymore. And you shut up and take the money at the expense of the whole. And that's called sellout.
I agree,
man.
Thank you so much, Pastor Tatum, for calling in tonight. And by the way, happy birthday, and I hope you enjoy your evening.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I appreciate my daughter taking it. Bless
you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That was Pastor Tatum, y'all. Okay, we got to go back to the phone line. 314-381. Good evening. You're on my couple work.
Hello, Carrie. How you doing?
You
know, is your prosecutor elected?
Yes.
In Fort Worth? Well, that's where you straighten out the problem. You don't go to Biden. The federal government cannot tell Fort Worth Police Department jack on its operation. Nothing at all. Only time the Department of Justice can come into a police department when there's evidence of civil rights violation. Then they come in and they do what's called a consent decree. A consent decree is where both parties agree to it. That's it. Now, your prosecutor gave the evidence to the jury, and to say that the defense attorney is not supposed to do and say the things that they done, if they don't do it, then it can be a mistrial. They have to give the officer his 14th Amendment procedural due process. And from what I hear, that's what they done. Now, it's a good thing that, and what you told me, the police officer was guilty in what he done. He killed the lady. Now, was it justified killing?
No.
I don't know.
No.
That would have to be left up to the procedures that went into court. But it's good that you had an all-white jury that found him guilty. And that was based on the information that the prosecutor gave to the jury. And if you got problems with these days, and most of these days are elected, then you need to get their ass out of office.
Right.
As simple as that. You can't complain about it, and I ain't talking to nobody in Pacific, but you can complain all you want to on social media. Ain't nothing going to happen because they was elected. get their butts out of office. And one other thing, where's your congressperson? Is that the 18th Congressional District, Sheila Jackson, Carrie?
No. No. It would be Kay Barb Beatty.
Here's the thing. Your closest, your pathway to the Department of Justice.
Okay,
your pathway to the Department of Justice is that congressperson. Where the hell is that? And I noticed that Sheila Jackson Lee is trying to introduce a bill for a congressional act that's going to affect the whole damn country, like Missouri or Louisiana, but it should only be concentrated on her district where it's got a lot of high crime. Why do I have to suffer from your restrictions of guns where I don't experience that in my state? Just worry about your state.
You know, well, can I say something real quick? Can I say just a few minutes? I it's like I said to the first guy, I completely understand the big picture. I do. You know, we have this history. We have everything. But let me tell you what. This is what happened in this case. What happened in this case is a script. And if you look at the record and everything, this is the problem that I had. And I don't know. But this civil rights call, like Kev, I do understand. That's the right operation on the big picture nationwide. Yes, we have that. But what we have to understand is the reality of the in Fort Worth, in Tarrant County, okay, in Texas law, we've got this hurdle here because if you don't understand about Texas law, a criminal district attorney under Texas law in that county, in that jurisdiction, that's a boss hog operation under Texas law. They have more power than the governor under Texas law. And that's just what it is. And what I will sit here and say is that's the problem. They had Aaron Dean on the stand, okay? And you rarely get a murder defendant to take the stand in a, you know, a person trial. But he took the stand, okay? And I don't know, it's not personal, it's systemic, but they had that man on the stand, and I'm not saying that they can go up there and conjecture and say unfounded things and put all kinds of inflammatory stuff in play, but about the civil rights thing, where that's going to fall flat is during that whole trial, that script, and it was good. It was great pageantry, and it was great facade, and it was great. Fluff. It was the rhetoric, their arguments, and that. But the bottom line is they did not forensically, and I don't mean scientifically, but forensics is about speech and rhetoric. They did not forensically investigate get after their witnesses, all of the witnesses that the state brought. They were very restrained, limited. So the racial issue was not, I'm sorry, I just have to sit here and say on the record, they did not, the investigators, the Fort Worth police and everything, they didn't.
We gotta go back to the
phone line. Kind of like,
I got two more points I want to make real quick. Two more points. Yes, they should. Yes, Carrie, they should file civil suits against him. But get this. Anytime somebody do something to you that's causing you pain and suffering and money loss, you should file a civil suit against them. Even if it's a car accident and they don't have insurance, file a civil suit against them. Hell, they may win bingo or they may win the lottery. You have to do those things. And another point, you got the power to change those things. You elect these people. Get their asses out.
Right.
That state representative legislature is supposed to bring that congressperson to the floor. That's where Congress, the federal government, gets its power from the state. Your state representative is supposed to go to your congressperson, then they go to the Biden administration Department of Justice. Make it work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Listen, somebody's got some noise in their background. Whatever that is, if you could, please mute it, because it makes it hard to hear the caller. Listen, y'all, we're going to go back to the phone lines. If you have a question or a comment, the call-in number tonight is 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. We're going to go to 817-946. Good evening, you're on Lesson 4. 817-946. Okay. Y'all got to be paying attention when I come to you. 817-946. This is Eva. Hello?
Hello, Gary. This is Gerald Banks Sr.
Hey, Mr. Banks. How you doing?
Oh, maintaining. It's one of the, been one of them bittersweet days for me.
You know, I've seen you down at the trial almost every day, so I know it was bittersweet as you watched and felt the tension in the building and everything. Tell us about it.
Okay. When I say bittersweet, I'm speaking of the fact that at 6:23 this morning, I lost a relative of mine, a real, real close relative of mine. Started my day off when I got this phone call. Pardon me?
I said, I saw that on your timeline. You have my condolences.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Don. And to lead off the fact of, all right, appreciate everyone. To go down to the courthouse and the time frame that I did actually make it down there was leading into, you know, an inspirational moment. Still somewhat in suspense with the sentencing, not projected yet. But once it was as if, I mean, you know, I guess you could say the bittersweetness became somewhat relieving in a sense, not what we expected, but it was something to the degree above the 10-year sentence that would cause him to be able to walk in such of a manner with an appeal. So I just understand that I know a lot of people say, okay, that 11-year, 10-month, 12 days is not enough. But what the hell was your ass at around that courthouse?
Ooh.
All those people that's calling in saying that or texting saying that, where was your ass at around that courthouse? You got enough people in that congregation, that pastor in that pulpit, to surround that courthouse in a number of three layers. Out beyond the courthouse, where were you all at to support your black people, to support the fact of the matter that this man could have got 2 years and been out on the street with a probation sentence? Where were you at? I don't care about all this litigation talk and all this, that, and another, but the support that this family should have had from these black people in this Fort Worth city, where were you at? We had a few.
Let me speak to that. First of all, I never spent one day down at the courthouse. I went down there one evening after everybody left and recorded, you know, what it felt like the night that he was sentenced. But in terms of the act, you know, the day-to-day that was going on, I did not want to be targeted because I had been so vocal on social media, and I saw a lot of activists down there have been targeted. So I thought that I would use my platform, and I would also, you know, advocate on social media, which anybody who is following me on Facebook knows that that's the truth. And so I think there's many ways in which people could have showed support. Many people prayed, you know, many people, you know, supported the family financially. So is it really fair to say just if you didn't come in the building, you know, during the daytime
I did not say, and I respect your show, and you're doing a very good job, and I admire your show to the utmost because of the fact that you are reaching out and you are expressing your opinion through others through your show. Now, when it comes down to it, how many of those other people, those pastors and all of that, are calling into your show to express what they feeling, what their feelings are pertaining to this trial and pertaining to this family and pertaining to our Tatiana's death? We walked and marched and raised our fists and raised signs and all of that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Protesting, advocating, for this family, for the Tatiana Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to the trial, that not to be saying that they should have came in the courthouse. I'm not saying that. I said mm-hmm. surrounding that building outside. You're not going to
okay.
be targeted to a point outside.
Well,
they're not
well,
asking
well,
you
well,
for your
well,
cell
wait
phone.
A minute. Wait, look, hold. Like they said, wait a minute. Manuel Mata got targeted for what they say he did outside the building, right?
Manuel Mata got wrongfully targeted.
Right.
He was wrongfully targeted.
Right.
You
right.
see? He was targeted before he was even there.
Yeah.
You see? That's what I'm saying. The other guy set up in front of me over to the side, and they called him as Manuel Mata.
Anthony LaSalle.
And they actually sworn him in as Manuel Mata. When Manuel Mata came in the courtroom and sat in front of me, they called him up. So it's two Manuel Matas that they called up to that rail and sworn in as Manuel Mata. When they got the right Manuel Mata, because the judge, he didn't even really know who Manuel Mata was, but then when he turned around and made that statement the next day as if he knew Manuel Mata, he was lying. And I know he was lying because he did not know who Manuel Mata was. The defense put all that in that man's head.
I agree.
Let me say this.
It's just the fact that when you got a plantation and the plantation master controlling mm-hmm. everything and superseding everything the way he wants to do it, and making mm-hmm. you put your phones in envelopes with your name on it so they can recognize who the facts are going inside that courtroom, which is a public courtroom, and they locking the door, which is a public facility, then yeah. you got a problem here in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget Mr. Banks, you was down there. They said that they brought in Jimmy John's food for the family and for for Aaron Dean. Is that true?
I came up after that episode had happened, and they approached me and they told me that that happened, and I was just about to post that on my page when everything I seen state troopers going in on the other end, and I said, okay, something's mm-hmm. about to go down. And which, you know, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, true. They did come to me and tell me, Mr. Banks, they had Aaron Dean in there with his family, sitting mm-hmm. up there with not handcuffed. The bailiff was there. And inside the courtroom where the procedures and policy is no food or drink inside the courtroom, but they sitting up in a parlay. That's what I was informed of. And it could be, you can say it's hearsay, but I'll tell you what, they got pictures, and the bailiff tried to block it, and then they say the bailiff lied and said, no, that didn't happen. No, they got pictures, and they got pictures. I looked at the pictures. Now, why are you going to show me pictures of something that didn't happen? You see? So, yes, of course, that happened. But you won't see another individual. I call it white privilege, and I call it family white privilege. And from what the young lady said last night on that, I talked to you, Carrie, and I told you something deeper than just the killing of Tatiana Jefferson. That's why this took so long. You got more, and if I come up missing, then you know I said it. And I don't give a damn if nobody heard it at this point. But the fact of the matter is, it's deeper than what we are as far as protesters and advocates can put on the scale at this point. You got to understand that Fort Worth is a place of white folks, privilege, and accountability is nonetheless, unless it's one of them.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
Well, okay, yeah, go ahead, women.
One of the things that we got to realize is we don't fight like we used to fight. I understand Brother Banks' frustration, without the visibility, because trust me, like I said, from that time I come into this world, even up to now, we've seen enough. And one of the things I can say, we have become more strategic and we became more tactical. And what do I mean by that? If we already know that they are armed, they have already bought out all their armed enforcers and their tanks and big trucks and all of that stuff, we're not going to make ourselves easy targets for you. But trust me, rest assured that we were visible in plain, but not in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
So trust me, there was plenty of support, but at the same time, we don't do like we did back in the 60s, to where everybody's outside, and then from that, you know, one spark, and now you want to hose down the whole crowd or have the reason or an opportunity to fire into a crowd saying, well, such and such had a gun. When we know ourselves, many of us have gone armed, open carry. Many of us have gone concealed carry. But at the same time, you know, we didn't want to give any option, any optic that we were there to be the opposers. For those of us that support the family, was looking for the right verdict, even though, again, even the family member said, hey, we were hoping for murder, we got manslaughter, but this ain't over. It's not over. So rest assured, the support of that family is, trust me, a lot of folk in Fort Worth, they behind them. They behind them. Now, I've said this before, I continue to say it. If it get ugly, we going to find out who really about what they say. And I hate for it to come that way, but I've lived long enough to know there comes a time when you got to fight for something, and if you're going to fight for something, you better make it your life.
Carrie, let me interject.
I'm just saying,
the night that went down, and then the week or whatever that when they was up on the Masonic Hall steps, and we walked across Allen Bridge and turned around, that street was flooded with people that was angry about what had transpired. All I'm saying is, that anger shouldn't subside in 3 years. That flame should still be lit. And I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to be overbearing or saying something out of the way. And I don't want to disrespect the show or nothing like that. I love that you got going. And what I'm saying is, this is not just because today was a stepping stone and we got something done. This is just the beginning, because there's many more that's right here in Fort Worth that's in the same disposition that don't have that clot or that individual that to be able to proceed like they want to, because they are afraid. You can't get nothing done here in Fort Worth with these Negroes being afraid. And you can't get nothing done with them being bought off of existence to the point where they won't say nothing.
There you go.
Now, I'm going to leave it alone.
Hey, Terry, can I say on your behalf, Mr. Banks and the other gentleman that's speaking, I didn't catch your name, right? However, Wayman Brown. I will sit here and say that I completely understand the new age. We are in a new age. If we're talking about civil rights on this, we are in a new age, okay, a new millennium and everything like that. But I would just ask everybody that we got to come to a medium, and we cannot diminish, Mr. Banks' call to action in the old school on old school rules. We cannot diminish the fact that the old school way was very effective. those guys that went out and because fear, that speech about fear that's come through any kind of movement, you have to answer the fear, and this fear of being targeted and being shot and this and that, whatever. And what I will say to the heritage of the of our elders and the people before us that went through, well, look, the greater generation, I'm just going to tell you, the greater generation is they went out there and they took on the dogs. They took on the fire hoses. They took on the billy clubs of Bull Connor, right? And I do respect that we are in a new age of social media and everything, but I love, and I'm not trying to be react. I'm not trying to be pacifist or anything like that. But that was very effective. That was what got the feds. It wasn't filing a petition in court and playing 3D chess on the government system that got the feds involved, like Mr. Kiev was saying. That's not what got the feds involved was battle on the bridge.
Okay. Listen, we got to go back to the phone lines. If you have a question or a comment tonight, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1-1 connect. Listen, 512-999. I came to you first or second, and you were not obviously paying attention. So I'm going to come back to you again because your hand is raised. 515-999. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works. Okay, you got to know your own phone number, y'all. 515-999.
512.
Okay. 512. I'm sorry. 512-999. Okay. Obviously, they are right. Okay, let me say this to you. If you're on the phone line and you press 1 once you were connected, that tells me you want to talk. So if you don't want to talk, press 1 again, and that will take your hands down, and I won't come back to you again. So, okay, we're going back to the phone lines. We're going to go to 682-250. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk More.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I was just listening in and understanding what everybody had to say. For one, I'm glad the man is going where he need to be, mm-hmm. which ain't not a big. You know, he was going to get them 11 years about the same age as I. You know, so, but like Mr. Banks said, we can't give up on the fight. We got to have some legislation change, and hopefully a law or a bill or something come out. And then right now, we should be pressing for that Citizen Oversight Review Board.
Yes.
To put that back on the table in petition. To get that, this is why citizens need to be on. This is the reason why we need to have one, because of this situation right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should challenge, you know, the council and the mayor,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
with their wrong decision of telling
mm-hmm.
us, you know, are you violating our constitutional rights? Telling us that we can't have a Citizen Oversight Review Board with subpoena power? You know, I legally, they have no right to tell us that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when
well,
we
let
flip
me,
the bill.
Well, let me answer that question for you about Oversight Committee, because they have one like that in Dallas, and they're not doing a damn thing with it there. The main thing about it is when you have the people in power that are supposed to use this thing for subpoena power to question the police officers and everything like that, and then they just sit on their asses and just do nothing and just look the other way every week, week in and week out, they do nothing. Then when you talk to the mayor, he just mutes you out or just, you know, just wait for you to get done with your 3 minutes and run you off. One thing that I'm going to try to do at the beginning of the year is I'm going to be going back to the courts and be filing a civil suit and try to turn this thing into class action, because I know there's hundreds of people who have filed complaints with the city, and what they do is once they get their information down, they're going to sit there and hold on it for over 2 years for the statute
mm-hmm.
of limitations where for official oppression. So it's all about how they're going to run things after they get it initiated. Because, see, Dallas ain't done shit for 2 years. They started theirs right about 2019, 2020, and hasn't done hardly anything. And all they've done is take people's information, sit on it, they don't call you back, and don't let it be, you know, filed a lawsuit against the city. They won't investigate it at all. You know, they may feel like you're making too much noise and you're trying to profit off of it. But guess what? What else are you going to do? I mean, you file a complaint, they're not doing nothing. You file a lawsuit, they're not doing nothing. So if you don't take the initiative to do anything for yourself, they just gonna sit there and watch it fall off.
Yeah.
You can't touch anything on that part. You have to take the initiative. And the media's even bought off on that.
I think
so,
you guys gotta be
I used the word battle earlier. I don't mean battle.
Why do you always interject when we're trying to listen to other people, man? You don't have to hold your mute. It's other people that's online, bro, that like to hear. I want to hear what Sister Carrie got to say, brother. Please don't hold the whole platform, man. Can you please? Can I hear Sister Carrie, please?
Y'all know I don't hold the conversation, but I do have something that I think we all need to work on. Malik made an excellent point. Some type of legislation needs to come out of this. And I think what we need to do is work on Zion's law. And I think Zion law needs to say in the state of Texas, you cannot interview a minor after an incident like this without parental consent and without the parent being present.
Yes.
No child should be traumatized like this little boy has been traumatized so that they can help get an officer off. That's unacceptable. Yeah, you're right. You're literally kidnapping a child in the middle of the night after they just saw somebody killed, and then you're forcing them to give you a statement. Nobody is present to verify what you say they said, and then you come back and you use it in court against them, and then when they're not able to recant what you say they say, then you literally, I mean, almost call them a liar. They re-traumatized him, you know, in the courtroom, in my opinion, saying, you know, do you tell the truth? You know, do you know what it means to tell the truth? As though he was lying when we never heard the whole testimony from Zion. We never, as Malik said to me one time, we didn't see him walk in the room, so we don't know what the beginning was. We don't even know what the end was. We just know a little clipping of the interview that they showed us, and they said that's what Zion said. Y'all, we got to do better.
And I said about that interview, what my interpretation of that interview was a setup to try to push and create more. That was to create more narrative. That was to create narrative about family, her making the firearm accessible. If you look at the forensics of that interview, that's what they were doing. They were trying to flesh out something to freaking put some negativity on Tatiana.
But that never should have happened, and that's what Brother Malik and Carrie is saying. Mm-hmm. That should have never have happened, being that he was a minor.
Mm-hmm.
And the oversight committee is step one in doing that, and once we move from the oversight committee, then we also have grounds to press that to make it into a bill and then push it into a law.
Because see, y'all,
we've got the law.
Let me say this real quick. When Fort Worth PD first started harassing me, it was after I covered the murder of Sherrall Thomas. That happened February 28, 2011. Sherrall Thomas had three small children in the back seat of that car, and they were treated the exact same way. They were snatched from the scene of shooting, and they were taken to an undisclosed location, forced to give a statement before their parents even knew where they were, because Sherrall was only a parent there. And so they took those three kids. Okay, let me finish. They took those three kids from the scene, and they did that. So, y'all, that's four cases that we know right here in Fort Worth where that has happened. That should never happen to another child again.
Didn't that fall up under Betsy Price, who was being the understudy by Maddie Parker, who being the city manager was David Cook?
No, no, no. I'm to be honest with you. That happened at Moncrief. Moncrief was the mayor then.
Yeah, that was Moncrief. Yeah, that was Moncrief. That's right.
Okay. Okay. But again, you did say that there is a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So, didn't those people that came behind them, didn't they notice this pattern?
Yeah. Yep. But see, they keep saying it's not against the law. But so we need to make it against the law for you to traumatize our children, mess them up for life, for the sake of trying to say that you want to twist their testimony or statement to say what you want us to say. So therefore, you snatching them up off the scene. They're confused. One thing I heard Zion say three times, which was very concerning to me, when he said, "I thought I was in a dream." He said that twice,
yeah.
And then he said, "I was confused." So that means to me, it was in the middle of the night. He's sleepy. He's probably hungry. He's scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's around total strangers, and you're forcing
mm-hmm.
him to give a statement. And then there's no full interview that anybody saw to actually attest to the fact that Zion said that. This should never happen again. That's just my opinion.
Number one, if things like that, it should be if it's some form of assigned caseworker through the Child Protection Service or somewhere on the state level, not a municipal level, and they should automatically step in and know what. And I ain't never heard the man rights explained to him. And right then and there, they should have some form of counsel, try their best effort into getting that child the family assistance that he or she needs. They know what they're doing, man. It's all BS, but I agree with you, Kerry, 110%. It has to be some guidelines and some roadblocks and some penalties if you violate, if they, you know, continue to proceed like that. Point
but
blank,
you
I mean,
cut
and dry, because the child has no representation. They know what they're supposed to do and what they ain't supposed to do.
They let an officer take 3 days. They let an officer take 72 hours to give a statement. But you snatch a child and mess up his mind at 8 years old. Something's wrong with that, y'all. Just FYI. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marino.
Hey, I just want to ask you, I think I'm sharp on this like you. But this is your case. This is said the one big thing that you came to. This is what got you started. And this rocks my world. Wasn't that John Romer?
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, that dude right there.
Yeah.
That's fucking round. Yeah, this shit. We got a problem, people.
Who's still out of jail to this day, and been trying to get his job back, right?
That wasn't even the case. That was the Harris case. The Newsom case was what he went to jail for. Another narcissistic. Here's what I think would be a good gesture. I'm just going to throw it out, and then I'll cool off and let people talk. and this is just the message that came out whenever that psychologist came out there and exposed that psychological evaluation. Here's what the Fort Worth Police Department should do as an initiative right now. To the public, say, hey, we are going to psych eval all of our – we're going to come up with a new policy. Right now, we're going to do a blanket psych eval of all 1,700 officers, all 1,700 personnel working, and it's going to become pass or fail, and we're going to put it out in public. And then what they should come up with – okay, I understand the oversight board, but this is the kind of gesture, this is the kind of steps that I expect as an installment. After the down payment, it says we got a policy now on general orders that every officer is going to go through either a 3-year, 3 to 5 year, I'm something like that. I'm open, but a 3 to 5 year routine psych eval for rehabilitative purposes. Maybe if you identify, but we need to really make sure. First of all, if they fail a psych eval. Then they review the psyche. Like in that, yeah, I'm done. I'm done with
it. Well, let me hit y'all with this. Did y'all know these officers are allowed to take two testosterone shots every year?
That part.
Yeah, I knew about that. I've heard that story.
Oh, what do you think driving them crazy, brother? Other than they're supposed to lead all the time.
I've heard stories that there's camera people that have been out there that have watching the that university, that place over there on West Side, that they've got cops pulling up in police cars on duty getting testosterone shots. Like,
yeah,
that
they allow them to do that.
Like,
you know,
bailiff,
I mean,
like,
I ain't
going
to call this person name, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, I'm privy to weightlifting and have been quite some time. And, brother,
mm-hmm.
You don't blow up that big in a month's time. That's bull
no.
crap. No, you know, Wayman can attest that we both athletes, you know what I'm saying? And, Wayman, you know your body don't do that. We know what it
you
is.
You even said before, why don't they just drug test them like you do on every other job?
Exactly.
They don't. And I brought that up in meetings. I said, y'all the only profession that your officer do something offbeat and out of line. So number one, they should be sanctioned through the test department license and regulations.
Yes.
That's another thing we should push for. Every officer mm-hmm. needs to be sanctioned through the department license and regulations. When you violate that, bro, you lose your license. You can't be a cop no more. You got to have some roadblocks in there, and that's how we got to do it, is do Department of License Regulations. Electrician is bound by it. You make a mistake as an electrician, Wayne, you know I ain't lying. We finna go to Concentra and piss in the cup.
Yep.
Well, you're right there.
In that cup, buddy. And when these officers got those infractions. Yeah, I was going to say, you got those type of infractions. You finna go piss in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I guarantee you.
That I've been proposing is that they need to do something about having them bonded instead of having every time.
That's what I'm talking about, license and bonded. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying
is bonded.
And I agree with you 100%. And those are things that we need to, as citizens, as we having
mm-hmm.
this conversation, write this stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And hold
it as we speak.
The one thing, one third we do have. We can do some seat changing up there in that city council. Since we ain't getting it our way, we got to put somebody off in the seat that has our agenda. Another thing, too, is I don't think nobody should be running for city council, taking money from the POA.
Exactly.
Ooh,
that
need to stop.
These are all things been discussed. Then once they get on that seat, they say all that when they try to get elected. Then once they get selected, then all of a sudden they get bad case selective amnesia.
Yes.
Well,
okay, y'all, we're going back to the phone lines. If you have a question or comment tonight, the call-in number is 515-605.
Adrian, get your thoughts together. Adrian, get your thoughts together before you get on this phone, because I know you're holding.
And I was going to go to Adrian's shot. Adrian.
Y'all, it's time to be quick, Adrian. We need to be quick tonight, baby.
Adrian, good evening, Adrian. He's picking on you.
Hey,
good evening.
Hey, Malik. I'm ready, brother. I'm ready.
No, you're ready,
hey,
buddy. All right.
I'm ready. good evening to everyone. And I say, y'all, we hear y'all. We are here, y'all. Hey, Kara, I say, you said that opening question was what I think did it for this trial. Let's start off with I think that Sunday when they instituted the power of prayer in the midst of it, you know, because
yeah.
they already knew what we were up against. But when they were over at the family's home and they had that time of prayer and just togetherness and just trying to put everybody on one accord, you know.
Right.
And then, of course, you all know the first day we all, oh, man, here we go. First day was like, oh, man, here we go. Here we go. But I'll say this. You all, we are in a good position right now. Now, what I mean by a good position, those who have not been actively involved politically, because you said it don't matter, blase this, blase that, it's time to get yourself registered to vote. It's time for us to unseat these very people who – making decisions on behalf of this city, but keep undermining the changes that are necessary for this city to have.
Mm-hmm.
The nine that occupy those seats down there, we have to remove a majority of those individuals, because they undermined everything we were trying to do when it comes to law enforcement. I say this, anybody who gets the three entities who get their way when they go down to city council, law enforcement, business interest, and developers, they can come down there and say, they can just say hi. I'm just here just to say hi. And it's okay with anybody. I second that. And they'll vote it in, whatever. So we have to get, first and foremost, we got to get them out of, we got to remove them individuals. I think let's not get divided, because I know a lot of emotions have been high regarding this, you know, and we point the fingers at, you know, this person, that person, but at the end of the day, you all, we are here. I think justice has finally said, hey, Fort Worth, get ready, because it's been time, you know. And Carrie, I want to say this: what you said, it's a win either way. You said it's gonna be a win either way. If we don't get a verdict, if he's acquitted, it's a win, because it's gonna expose the world to what Fort Worth truly is, what Tarrant County truly is.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get a win, then it says something to the fact that, hey, it lets law enforcement know that, hey, accountability is in order.
I see. You know, one thing I noticed, you know, as I said earlier, the defense team was not prepared to close in a sentencing part. I think they literally thought that a Zion was going to get up there and be a robot and say exactly what they needed him to say. And so, therefore, Aaron Dean was going to go home a free man. And I think once that didn't go, if you notice, they were confused about whether or not they had got documents from the state and we didn't get this and can you get us that, because it seemed like they were scrambling at that point. And Bob Gill, who everybody is saying is a good attorney, you know, one of the best, you know, high profile, you know, all of that. But y'all, I don't know about y'all, but when he was closing, to me, looks like he got lost. I think whatever he had planned, he forgot. He stood up and forgot. And he literally, in my opinion, sounded as narcissistic as Dean did. You know, saying, go to prison for what? Punish him for what? You know, rehabilitate him for what? And I thought that was the worst thing he could have said, because it almost seemed like he was saying, too, there was no remorse needed. He made a mistake, so move on. She's gone. You know, too bad. And so now let Aaron Dean get on with his life so he can get back to, you know, finishing his sister's chapter. it was just a ridiculous closing statement.
But he stood on the fence of saying he's a police officer. That's what he was banking on.
Yeah, basically that's what he was thinking.
He was banking on them believing that. Well, he's a police officer.
Qualified immunity applies.
That's what I'll say. Yeah. That's what I'll say about it. And I'm not disrespecting the soul of Jim Lane, but let the Jim Lane doctrine go to the grave with Jim Lane.
Don't y'all be mean, but I'm just saying, yeah.
But I'm like Brother Gerald, that you know, I hope Larry O'Neill listening with his informative horror up information. And I know he eavesdropping. You know. I guess you didn't know what you thought you knew. But we gotta stay ready, because I guarantee you they huddling up, making moves on the chessboard to where they gonna legislate somewhere. This type of case ain't gonna happen like this no more. I'm telling you, that's what they do. The POA is calling somebody in the state legislator, whether it be Kay Granger, Ted Cruz, or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to patch up and get some laws changed.
Let me say this. You're making an excellent point. We're always talking about how powerful the POA is. You know why they're powerful? It's because they organize. And
right.
And that's the lesson
invest.
For us.
They invest.
I'm gonna leave that right there.
And, And I, Carrie, you spoke to something when I first, you know, doing, you know, when I first got in, you first got in contact with me years ago, you know, when doing the election thing, you spoke to something. We need a pact that sends a message to any entities within this city that try to control anything. They, like you said, they pull together their resources and they push for whatever it is they want. So we need a collective pact with like-minded people who don't mind pulling their resources and letting people letting the powers that be know that, hey, we here. We are here. Did you all catch what they stated? They said that there was a WFAA analyst or whatever. They were stating that had there not been body camera footage, this would have went to a grand jury. They said had there not been body camera footage, this would have went to a grand jury.
Yeah.
So how we've had body camera footage.
No. You didn't finish the statement. They said more than that. They said we wouldn't be here today.
If there wasn't body camera footage.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Carrie, for clarifying. Okay. And another thing, you all, I think what the defense was using, they was using the playbook. They say the playbook they've been using. The DA office, Sharon Wilson. Hello, Miss Sharon Wilson. I'm trying to figure out something to send to the DA's office. I'm trying to figure out something to send you on Facebook to the Tarrant County. They got a district attorney's page, you all, so you all can send them a lovely message. Hey, Sharon Wilson, we got one. We got one, Sharon Wilson.
11 days and out.
11 days. Oh, is she gone in 11 days?
Yeah, expired.
Okay.
It's like Jim Lake.
Well, I was very skeptical that this was going to happen on her watch, but I really do believe it was only the pressure that the people put up there that forced them to do this. I really believe that the people were not, you know, constantly, you know, keeping this alive, despite the fact that the defense was trying to gag order everybody and everything. I really do believe we would not be here today. I think if the people had done like they've done in the past, let whatever happened happen, and, you know, everybody goes back to their respective corners, that didn't happen this time. People just kept coming. And I think that let them know that something has shifted in this area, this part of the country, and we just were not going to go for, you just going to keep killing us, and nobody goes to jail.
When you look at how the neighborhood responded up at the courthouse on Miller and Berry.
I agree with you, brother, comrade.
Well, they had to open their eyes to that because they know we didn't go dormant,
and then again they didn't want to wake that sleeping dragon up either, comrade.
Every dog on the porch that's quiet.
And not only that,
it means he won't bite.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Go ahead, Webby.
You know, that's one of the things that I keep reiterating, and I said this at City Hall on the floor in the old building. We're not going to continue to stay in our own communities and show you our grievances. That casket that showed up on Maddie Parker's front yard. See, that's the kind of stuff I was talking about. That's child's play compared to what's coming. You know, if they keep doing things the way they've been doing it in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
You know, people know who these people are. Like you say, y'all watching us, we watching y'all.
Ooh.
And it's more us than it is of y'all.
Ooh. Ouch.
So,
how soon y'all think they gonna get Aaron Dean up out of here? You know, because, you know, everybody in Tarrant County Jail probably knows who he is. So how soon do y'all think they'll ship him out? Will it be before Christmas?
They can put him on the next chain bus going to TDZ if they want to. But I think they're all gonna get him up out of there pretty
soon. It's crazy. There's some technical issues that you ain't going to see what's going to happen on the back channel. The first thing that happens is he's going to stay here for about 2 weeks to 30 days because his defense is going to motion for a new trial. Just wait. I don't know what Judge Gallagher is going to do, but this talk about appeal, that don't happen. But these attorneys are going to, first thing they did behind the channel is they're going to file a motion for a new trial, and there's a little code that I saw happening with Judge Gallagher. Every time the defense made an objection and they got overruled, they said, but I grant you a running objection. He was like back, he was like, that was like a little tip to him to make sure that they didn't miss the mode. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to review the record, and then what's going to happen is they're going to put it to Judge Gallagher. And there's so many anomalies, and I'm not being pessimistic. We had the conversation. We know what it is, folks. We do, okay? And I still believe it was a nominal down payment, but that's what I said. We got to keep pressing, okay? We got to make them known. We got to make it known that we ain't going for no technicalities, man.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. Yo, listen,
yeah.
Aaron Dean had a million-dollar defense team. Listen, if you want to call it the A team, they had the A team. What happened? I mean, because he could have done better with a public defender than he fared with this group. So what happened?
He got with the POAP. He got with the POAP. The POA told him, go get these cats. And they really
– What happened? Really what happened was not
– Jim Lane was going to check out before everything took out. He wasn't anticipating
that. He was banking on an 11-year-old.
What happened was God's rebuke. What happened was God's rebuke.
Yep. I agree with you 110% on that.
Yeah.
Like brother Banks said, all that margin, the walls of Jericho had to come tumbling down.
Right.
And you know what? This verdict, even though it wasn't what we wanted, because we really know 20 years is what he deserved. But
yes. This
verdict basically said a Tatiana's life did matter. Because if you listen to everything that the Aaron Dean's people, his defense team, his family, it's as though they had no remorse for the loss of Tatiana Jefferson's life. And so this verdict, almost, 11 months, 10 years, I mean, 11 years, 10 months, 12 days. It was as though they were trying to, the jury was trying to send a message. We heard y'all. This guy's crazy. This guy killed this girl, and he did not even try to render aid. He stood over her and watched her die and bleed out. How sadistic is that? So I think the jury was really, in my opinion, sending the family a message. We heard you. And we care. Yeah, we can go back to the phone lines. We're going to 254-419. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hello?
254. Hi.
Hey, how are you about doing?
Okay.
Can you hear you, brother? Can you speak up?
Is that Benson?
Yeah. I mean,
254.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
I think that was my phone. I had to get straightened out a little bit. How y'all doing?
Amada, we doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Carpe diem. Seize the day.
You what?
I said carpe diem.
Seize the day. Diem. What is that?
Carpe.
Seize the day.
Carpe diem.
Okay. Is this Manuel Mata?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Something wrong with my phone, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can get it right.
You're good now.
Mm-hmm. We can hear you.
We can hear you.
We want to hear what you got to say.
I just want to say that I love you.
You want to say what? Okay.
I said I want to say that. Oh, man.
Okay, you have to turn the other device off that's in the room and just talk to us through the phone because there's going to be a delay in the echo.
No, there's not a delay.
Computer?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
Can I, you, if I can hang up, if I can hang up y'all mm-hmm. and call y'all back,
mm-hmm.
and y'all, will y'all pick up my call? I'm a whistleblower. I'm under the federal rules and regulations and the federal law, and I'm protected by federal law as a whistleblower. So if y'all can,
let's be clear, you're not Manuel Mata. Who are you?
No, it's not.
We confuse you with Manuel Mata. You're not Manuel Mata, right?
I don't understand.
Hang up here.
Okay. Bump him.
Okay.
Bump him.
Yeah.
Don't touch your call no more.
Yeah, we don't know what that is, y'all, but yeah.
Yeah, we don't know what that is, man. That's an op, man.
I don't know what that is.
That's an op, man. Don't bump him.
Yeah, that took a lot of time to get it together, y'all. I'm just saying. So, yeah. Y'all, you know when we do shows like this, it's going to be those guys. Well, I'm not going to accuse him of anything, but there's going to be people in the audience that are not going to be happy. And so, sir, I hope we it is what it is. But we're on victory today, and we just can't have no problems on the line. I'm just saying, so we're just not going to do that. But, y'all, it feels like a victory on one end, but on the other end, it feels like, in the spirit realm, like the other shoe is about to drop. You know, that makes sense.
I would just encourage people to understand, if you look at the last 3 years when this happened, not
hey,
only
Slick,
the last 3 years.
Slick,
the
we
last
were trying
three
to hear
years,
Adrian, man.
Mm-hmm.
The last
we're
three years
Adrian.
I'm talking about. All right, go ahead, Chief.
Oh, no.
Adrian, what were you saying, bro?
I was good, but I was just saying, she said other shoe drop. First thing came to my mind is lawsuit, and I'm just going to put it in the air. I'm just going to put it in the air.
Oh, yeah, that's coming.
Aim high.
Yeah.
Because look here, you all, if they could continuously get forward the police department on astronomical amount, they better aim high. Don't worry about the taxpayer. They've been giving away our money. Don't worry about us. Hit this city, man. Hit this city in the pocketbooks. Aim high.
I agree.
Because it's a 25-page filing, and
wow.
The thing that Kerry talked about, they do show a pattern of misconduct in the civil suit of the police department going all the way back to Rah-Rah Sister Kerry.
Really?
And,
wow.
Yeah, and I've read that, and we also got to understand they're going to have to pony up when it comes to Brother Fitzgerald, too. So they pockets going to be light, but they are aiming high from what, Mr. Merritt said today, because they coming from him. He going to press the full throttle. They going to press the full throttle on that civil side. So, and that's going to, per se, not going to be in Fort Worth. That's going to be over there in the Dallas court. So, they ain't going to have no wiggle room over there in Dallas County.
Didn't they say they were going to come after them federally and civilly? Didn't they say they were going to come after them federally and civilly?
And civilly,
yeah.
Yes.
State, federal, and state.
I
want to rest.
But I believe if you...
And it ain't trying to be funny. That's what needs to happen. That's what needs to freaking happen.
Well, they
ain't
also...
Ain't no said about it. Ain't no use to, chunk and rock and hide behind the bushes. But a lot of things when Brother Adrian was talking about, and I hear what you're talking about, trying to be cohesive, but it's certain color folks ain't going to let us be cohesive, and Brother Brown can attest to that. Until we get rid of those, till you clean that type of booger out your nose, we're going to have to chastise our people when it comes to certain things they've been doing. And I ain't saying that we got to do it publicly. I mean, behind closed doors, it was just by pulling our brother's coattails, like, say, man, we can't tolerate y'all doing this no more. Or it's either this or either that.
Right.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? By that, on some Tuesdays, we might have to show up at these little secret undisclosed meetings they're having with these folks, and ask us why isn't the public privy to what's going on in these meetings? Why y'all not coming back and reporting back out? what's going on in these meetings. But think of it is the clergy is split. One group don't like this group. That group don't like that group. Y'all ain't no worse than these little kids just running around here terrorizing the city. Y'all creating the whole atmosphere. And
you know we
have to correct. We're going to have to do some straightening up before we even get to that park. And I guarantee you, and Comrade Brown can attest to that, the harder we fight, the harder they gonna try to tear us up. And they not going to use white folks. They're going to use our own people to try to get at us.
Yeah.
You know, two people I'd like to hear from tonight is James Smith and Manuel Mata. Manuel Mata was moving around a little while ago, and I told him we were going to go live and ask him to be a part of it, but he was moving around, but hopefully we will hear from him before
the hour. I seen Manny tonight. I was with Manny, me, James, Manny, and Anthony, and Mr. Banks. We was all together.
How are you, Mr. James?
Oh man, he had a look on his face of relief.
Wow.
Somewhat conclusion, but you know, brother comrade Zion still having his issues, and I'm gonna get with Anthony to try to work with brother Zion along with the other brothers in the community, man. We're gonna have to surround that brother, man, and give him that he needs, man, because he gonna need all of us that's willing to. Help this cat. I ain't talking about for the short while. I'm talking about all the way till he gets
the long
me.
Haul, long term.
You know, and I've been a Pee Wee football coach, so it ain't nothing to me because I ain't never turned my babies loose. Even when they got away, you know, went on to middle school, I still kept a rein on them. And so I think any tools that are available, you know, to help this guy, this gentleman, young man with his therapy, we all gonna have to pitch in and help this young brother. Along with, you know, anybody else, especially him, man, especially him. Before Mr. James, you know, I hadn't seen him look like that, you know.
James,
I ain't seen that look on his face that I've seen today. Let's put it that way.
James Smith, we want to hear from you tonight. Because, you know what, you know, there's so many times we prayed for Mr. Smith, you know, to God, you know, keep him encouraged because, you know, besides the family, I don't think anybody has carried this burden any heavier than Mr. James has. And it was just, when I heard the verdict, I thought about the family, I thought about Zion, and I thought about Mr. Smith, like, wow. You know, because I know when they kept, you know, pushing probation, meaning the defense, you just really didn't know, were these people in this box going to give this man probation, or was it going to be the 20 years? It was just, and then when they were deliberating so long, we just didn't know what was going to happen, but it was just a feeling of total relief when I found out that they came back with the 11 years because I knew then that he was not going to be eligible for probation. Because, y'all, I really don't
That's
think Judge – let me finish. I don't think Judge Gallagher is capable of being over his probation. He showed us that by letting the defense lead him throughout this whole trial. So I think the jury picked up on that, too, that Gallagher was not going to be strong enough to be over his probation. So that was a blessing that he showed it in court, that all the leniency he showed to the Dean family, you know, and all that BS that they put on Mata. You know, this was not about Mata, y'all, being outside that courtroom because there was, outside that building because there was a whole bunch of people out there. However, Mata was the only somebody who got singled out. Anthony LaSan was just a casualty because he was insane. Yeah.
And he's filing against the court. You know, they targeted our group. Y'all had the black police. Y'all had the black police outside. So, you know, ain't no, we didn't say nothing to y'all when we was out there sending y'all a silent message that we ain't finna take this, you know, it ain't finna go down like y'all think it's gonna go, you know. And so, you know, they shot, they shot, you know. But, you know, thank God we have reasonable and cognitive jurors that seem different.
I agree. And, y'all, you know who I wanted to hear from? I really wanted to hear from Aaron Dean's father. You know, because in that religion that they're in, you know, the father is the head of the household, and it's very strict kind of guidelines and stuff. And so, you know, the fact that you know, this man was poorly socialized, and that probably came from his upbringing and the fact that, you know, he seemed somewhat sadistic, and he seemed, you know, narcissistic and you know, had a superiority complex. Why didn't your parents correct that in you? Because, you know, parents are our first people, you know, who we see as you know, people we look up to. So if you got a child with a character flaws like that, why didn't his parents pick up on he needed to humble himself? And that, if they had fixed that early on, we may not even be here today. But Aaron Dean had something going on in his psyche that was not right. And I know that if his mother was spending that much time with him, homeschooling him from K to 12, she should have picked up on he had some issues. Unless she got some issues. But I'm
just, you know. Okay, yeah, you answered that. I'm just saying they cultivated him into whom they wanted him to be.
Hmm.
See, they didn't see nothing wrong with what they were doing.
Hmm.
And homeschooling them, you know, from a religious standpoint of view, could have been a way of keeping away from sins from the world. It's almost like, you know, how the Quakers are. You know, they isolated. They got their own little, you know, bylaws and rules and how they go about, you know, living their life. Not saying there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, I like I said, without me not me saying not knowing Mr. Dean or Ms. Dean, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to say why they did what they did. I mean, most people don't think they took it in the better interest of the child, you know what I'm saying? Or their children, or however they seem to, you know, own their personal beliefs, you know, so.
I agree. Go ahead, Chris.
I get the impression that little sister Alyssa is the buckest one in the bunch. And she got she's wearing the pants in the family.
Yeah, that part. She was a little interesting. But you know, when we saw Aaron Dean on trial this week, we also saw Fort Worth PD on trial this week, or the last 2 weeks. And I think what, in my opinion, moving forward, this trial should force Fort Worth PD to rethink several things. Officer training, because obviously whatever's going on with the training, some kind of way, is not being implemented when they're getting in the field. We also saw an issue with crime scene integrity. You know, the fact that Dean is moving the gun and this is, you know, moved around, that's moved around. Nobody knew where the body camera was, and, you know, it's just too much going on with that. And so I think that needs to be addressed. How the general orders are applied. If you got some general orders, what are we talking about here? I mean, so you got a playbook. You know, you may have to divert from it here or there, but for the most part, I think you should be following those general orders. They also need to address the 911 non-emergency call operators. If somebody calls in and they're not sure, it's not up to them to tell you what code you should be using. You should be dissecting from them what they're saying, and then you should then say, well, sir, are you saying this is a welfare check, or do you just feel like somebody left the doors open? So I thought they could have asked James Smith more questions, but I thought when he said he was calling about his neighbor, he was concerned the doors, you know, are typically not open that late at night, and the fact that the cars were in the driveway, to me, that sounded more like a welfare check than an open structure. And remember, y'all, with the open structure, they were supposed to call the person who lived there, which is something they never did anyway. But I guess that was kind of hard to do in 77 seconds, which is how long it took him to take that shot. Also, y'all, about those body cams and dash cams, when you're going to what you thought was an open structure, then your dash cam should have been on, and you should have parked closer to the house. All this other stuff about, you know, you went to the wrong house and you left the car up the street, I just don't buy that. I just have a problem with that. And then also, rookies riding with rookies. If there's so much action on the east side like they said it is, and then south side, why are rookies riding with rookies on the midnight shift? That doesn't make sense. I mean, that absolutely doesn't make sense. And then I also think there should be a process of these psychological evaluations. They should not be overwritten. I think if a psychologist says somebody is unfit, they go as far to say somebody is unfit based on their testing. I think we should throw that one out. Let some other force catch that one, because it's enough red flag that he declared him unfit. I don't think we should move past that. As far as the interviewing process is concerned, it should have been a flag when he said he don't have a problem killing someone, because he told you what he thought and he lived up to it. And then the crime scene collection, it was just way too much going on with that. How does his lieutenant get his stuff? How do they give him his flashlight back to him the night of the shooting? Like, that's not even adding up. And so, say what?
A predatory sex offender.
Ooh, okay. That part too. And then last but not least, y'all, these minors being interviewed, you can't be snatching people up. That's kidnapping. I mean, you can't be snatching kids up when their parents don't know where they are. You don't know if he was asthmatic, would have needed his inhaler.
Exactly.
You don't know what kind of mental issues he could have had, going in. I'm not saying Zion did, but I'm just saying any child. You don't know his medical condition, but yet you're just going to snatch him up in the middle of the night in his underwear and take him to an undisclosed location and ask him about a situation that just traumatized him. Y'all, that don't make no sense to me. That just makes no sense to me.
That's the point. Y'all know one thing they think about
our children. One thing society thinks about our children, that they're used to trauma. It doesn't matter how they do our children. It doesn't matter what our children are exposed to. It doesn't matter. They used to trauma. They used to it. So what they did with Zion, like you all stated, it's that whatever that was, it shouldn't have even been a part of this trial. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad, Carrie, we talked about that first day, and I told you how I was feeling like, man, something ain't right. You told me just be quiet on what I own it, and I listen. But you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Listen, we can go on record. However they got Zion ready. Thank you all for getting him ready. Because the young man played that role. Whatever was said, whatever y'all did to get that Zion ready for that day, thank you all. And that's all I'm saying about that. Thank you all for getting Zion ready.
I disagree. I don't think anybody got him ready. I really believe Zion was they thought programmed to say what they needed him to say. And I think all of that pressure, whatever that was that they had told him, he just did not remember that. He honestly got up on that stand and told him, I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't remember. And after a while,
you was not from the bank the 8-ball off the cushion. Sorry.
But y'all know what this remind me of? What? This takes me back to the Jackie Craig issue with Officer Martin.
Yeah.
How she was, because I believe had Jackie been a man, Martin never would have handled that child like that.
Okay.
Mhm. Okay.
See, I can attest to that from being a parent, stopped by the police with my child in the car. And Brother Malik seen my son. I'm 6'8". My son's 6'9".
So when my son
was 14 years old, he was 6'7". So when the police pulled me over, I pull over. Hey, what you need? Me and one talking. The other one goes on the other side with his hand on his gun. Where's your ID? I stopped that immediately. Hold on, dog. You talking to the wrong one. You say anything else to him, we're going to have a shootout. Because he's a minor. You ain't got a damn thing to say to my child. Back your ass up. The one on my side was like, hold on, wait a minute now. I'm just here for a routine traffic stop. He needs to leave my child alone before this gets bad.
Mm.
And he was like, well, he got a mustache.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? And that's how they try to categorize our children.
Mm-hmm.
If I can put fear into the parent because of my authority, the child will follow suit.
Hmm.
Dog, this ain't like it used to be. This ain't like we ain't back there no more. So we do have to stand up for our children. Brother Malik, there are a lot of brothers over there in that 76104 area. I give some name and numbers to you that you can reach out to, because that night that we were out there directing traffic, there was a lot of them brothers that I come up with. They like, man, whatever we can do, let us know. So I get them names to you, man, because these are some stand-up brothers. And trust me, they like this. If they find out that it's somebody saying they something that they ain't, they will go after.
Oh, yeah.
who is that, Mr. Banks or Mr. Brown? Who's talking?
That's Brian.
I'm not saying who's talking.
I'm from 76104.
That goes back to what you, Ms. Brown, just to echo what you were just saying, and that goes back to what Pastor Tatum had said, because you brought up the Jackie Craig situation, how there's a disrespect for our women. You said had there been a manner, it would have been so how they handled, you see how he handled, when we go back to that body camera footage, how he did handle Jackie Craig, he was just so just, okay, what about, you know, and this, that, or the other.
But Martin Park, he did that. We when I worked at Walmart,
right.
We had to check him.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so
okay.
he ain't what he thinks he is.
Okay. No. But I just go on record and say our children are not used to trauma. Our children they know, our children know love. They are showed love. They are showed so for that narrative out there about our children are used to trauma, so we can just treat them any kind of way, this, that, no. So we changing that narrative. They not.
Wow. And you know what? Our children do not have a higher tolerance for pain than any other group. That's a lie. You know, that's not true. Our children hurt just like everybody else's children hurt, period. But, y'all, listen, it felt like during this trial, they would try to drag us back to the Jim Crow era. I saw some stuff in the way that they were handling that courtroom and the way the bailiffs were kind of roughnecking people. It really kind of felt like we were going back in time. It really did. It's like, you know, sit down, shut up, get out of the way, you know, do it because I said do it. It felt a lot of that happened in that courtroom this way. And that was on
but the tension also, Carrie, was I know they felt the pressure under that lid.
Hmm.
That's why they called in all that backup.
Wow.
And when they didn't see nobody, that disturbed them.
Hmm.
Because they like, now what do we do? Again, tactical and strategic.
I had said on the show that everybody needed to go down there and form a prayer chain and walk around the building. I said, did they call in all those state troopers to stop people from praying? I mean, I don't know. But, you know, I put it on social media and I said it on the show. Remember, Adrian, and we said that you could pull down the walls of Jericho? And so
I remember.
So maybe they called in all the state troopers to stop the prayer chain. I don't know. But they don't know that a prayer chain don't have to be in the one location. You don't have to be linked up, you know, physically. You can be linked up spiritually. So it is what it is. But, y'all, you know what? Listen, we didn't get what we wanted, but we got at least a conviction. And a man is going to prison, and he's no longer going to be a police officer. You know, I know this is right. It wasn't exactly what the family wanted, but at least it's a start, and they can catch him civilly, and they can catch him federally, and hopefully they'll change some laws as a result of a Tatiana Jefferson's death, so we won't be here again. Y'all, listen, thank you so much for a great show. I thank all of you all that called in tonight. I love hearing from other people and what their thoughts are about this. And you know what? Moving forward, y'all, we can't go back. We can't move forward and go back at the same time. And history was made this week. This is the first time in Fort Worth history that they have convicted a law enforcement officer of manslaughter and sentenced him to 11 years, 10 months, and 12 days. So, y'all, listen, on that note, we probably won't be back Friday because we've done so many shows this week already. We already know everything we're going to know about this Aaron Dean case. So we'll see you the following Friday. That said, good night, y'all. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.